You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
And welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for October 1999. This is issue number 175, and this is Fred Vobey, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. If you'd like to become a member of the DX Audio Service and live in the United States of America, the cost is $25. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $28. To Mexico and the Caribbean, it's $32. And to Europe and elsewhere, it's $38. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep the cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated. And send it to me, Fred Vobey, that's spelled V-O-B-B-E, at 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. If you have any questions, you can reach me at 419-228-4199. However, allow a few days for a return call if I'm not in. The fax number is 419-221-1609. The members action line is 419-224-1609. And if you're on the internet, you can send me email at fredv, F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. And appropriately, the National Radio Club's webpage is at www.nrcdxas.org. Big issue this month, so let's swing it right over to Jerry Starr with a look at the AM Switch.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with yet another edition of AM Switch, right out of the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News Magazine. Reference number is 460, and these are the call letter changes on 550 WIST, Statesville, North Carolina. Changes calls again, this time to WAME. On 620 WKPZ in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, they change calls after just a month or so on the old call. They become WKHB. 670 KVCA in Simi Valley, California becomes KIRN. 860 WWDB in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, they change back to WTEL. At the moment, WTEL is still assigned to the 1160 station in Red Springs, North Carolina, but both stations are owned by the same company. It's generally assumed that WTEL was just parked in Red Springs and is returning to Philadelphia. No word yet on what the new call in Red Springs will be. We'll let you know next month. 920 KQLO in Reno, Nevada becomes KIHM. That's half of a call swap. 960 WPXQ in Phoenix, Arizona. They become WCTK. More about that in a moment. 1010 KXYQ in Milwaukee, Oregon becomes KGUY. 1030 WSFZ in Memphis, Tennessee, changing to WTCK. On 1050 KTRJ, Fraser Park, California becomes KMAP. 1080 WPGR, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Station is silent at the moment. When they return, they will have the new call, WWNL. 1130 WAME in Camden, South Carolina, obviously changing calls since that call has gone to Statesville, North Carolina. Their new call will be WQIS. 1280 KGMM, Abilene, Texas becomes KBBA. 1330 WKZD, Murrayville, Georgia, changing to WGTJ. 1360 KFDJ in Glendale, Arizona, they become KXPQ. 1450 WBHF in Cartersville, Georgia becomes WPCG. 1470 KBBA, Abilene, Texas, changing to KEAN. On 1510 WXVX in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, they get the old 1080 call, WPGR. They also get the old 1080 format. 1590 KIHM in Sun Valley, Nevada, the other half of that call swap, they become WQLO. And in the expanded band on 1620 KAZP, Bellevue, Nebraska becomes KOIL. Now, as we noted last issue, both KXPQ on 960 and KIVA on 1310 in Albuquerque had requested the change to the call KCTK. That call was assigned to KXPQ 960 and then moved to 1360 in a call swap. Several other applications in the Albuquerque market hinged on KIVA getting that call. KDZZ, for instance, on 1580 was to change to KIVA. So expect more action in Albuquerque soon, and we'll tell you more about that next month. Several applications of interest on 550 CHNO in Sudbury, Ontario. They'd like to move to 103.9 FM. On 1620, CKOI in Timmins, Ontario would like to move to 104.1 FM. And on 900, CHYC in Sudbury, Ontario, they also want to move to FM at 98.9. Moving on to otherness on 660 WORL, Altamonte Springs, Florida. This brand new station should be on the air by the time you receive this cassette. 830 WEEU in Reading, Pennsylvania. They have been testing on this new frequency. They're still maintaining a regular schedule on 850, but have been testing on 830, so the move to 830 is probably imminent. 850 WJBZ in Knoxville, Tennessee is silent. 870 WQRX, Valley Head, Alabama, also silent. 890 WBAJ in Blythewood, South Carolina. This new station expects to be on the air by the time you get this tape. 900 CKVD in Val-d'Or, Quebec. Their move to 104.3 FM has been completed. 1050 WLYC in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. This silent station has returned to the air. As we mentioned, 1080 WWNL in Pittsburgh is silent. They are expected to return to the air within the next month. 1130 WQIS Camden, South Carolina is silent. 1150 WONG Canton, Mississippi is silent. Also 1150 WSNW in Seneca, South Carolina is silent. 1240 WSDT Saudi Daisy, Tennessee. This silent station has returned to the air. 1340 CHAD in Amos, Quebec. This station is silent. It's been replaced by CKRN's move to the FM band. 1400 application for a new station in South Lake Tahoe, California has been dismissed. And we just mentioned CKRN. 1400 CKRN in Rouyn-Noranda, Quebec has moved to 95.7 FM. And the AM on 1400 also is silent. 1470 WWBG in Greensboro, North Carolina, the third new station this month, is expected to be on the air by the time this tape reaches your mailbox. 1490 KVLL Woodville, Texas is silent. 1540 KZMP in University Park, Texas, finally the construction permit to move to University Park is on the air. 1550 KQWB West Fargo, North Dakota is silent. 1570 KUAU in Haiku, Hawaii, also silent. And moving into the expanded band on 1670 in Moreno Valley, California. And by the way, the FCC is now referring to this station as KSUL, the first time we've seen that call associated with this station. They received last month a construction permit, which was unusual for the broadcast band. And we mentioned they were licensed to operate with 10,000 watts in the daytime, 9,000 watts at night, with a directional antenna at night. Well, that construction permit has now been rescinded by the FCC and has been returned to pending status. So there's a story here we'll be bringing you probably next month. And on 1680, mark the box score for brand new stations on the air this month as WTIR in Winter Garden, Florida on 1680 takes to the air. And that wraps it up for this month. 30 days from now, more stuff in the broadcast band will roll down the pipe in your direction. And we want to say it was great seeing everybody at the big NRC convention in Bridgeport, West Virginia. We'll see you next year, wherever it happens to be. Hopefully by next month, we'll know where that will be. And we want to thank Bill and Brenda Swiger for an excellent job. They were perfect hosts. We had a great time. And here's someone we know had a great time because we observed him in the act of doing it. Here's John Bowker.
Well, thanks again, Jerry. Good to see you this weekend here in Bridgeport, West Virginia, for the annual National Radio Club Convention. And today we are in the Appalachian Room with an enormous crowd. Let me hear it from the crowd. Oh, yeah. All right. Okay, I have to tell you, this crowd was up until, what, 4 o'clock this morning, somebody told me? And we have a few featured guests with us. Here's Clarence Cordray. Good morning, Clarence.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's an awful time on a Sunday morning to get you out of bed, delighted. You're in from Canton, Ohio, I believe.
That's right.
And what do you hear in Canton, Ohio at 1600?
Well, really nothing.
Okay, that's what we're going to hear the rest of the morning. Thanks, Clarence. Well, you'll be making some comments as we go along. Hey, right here is Dave Marthouse. Dave, you're from Brookneal, Virginia. Where on earth is Brookneal?
Brookneal, Virginia is about 30 miles from everywhere. 30 miles south of Lynchburg. Appomattox is 30 miles east of us, and 30 miles west of Alta Vista, and 30 miles north of South Boston. And yes, there is a South Boston, Virginia.
And Alta Vista, I use them on the Internet all the time.
Love their search engine.
And exactly so. I wonder if there's any connection there at all.
I don't know.
Dave Marthouse, in all seriousness, is general manager and morning man. That's a good combination. For WODI.
Woody. Good coffee, too.
Oh, yes. Woody Radio in Brookneal, Virginia. Thanks very much for coming all the way over here to Bridgeport, West Virginia. And who's that other fellow next to him there? Phil Wayne's got the microphone, Phil. Who's that, Mike?
Hi, my name is Mike Lance from Miami Beach, Florida.
Mike, I think all you have to say is hi, and everybody will say, oh, that's Mike Lance.
Right.
Okay, and do you have anything down at 1600 down your way?
WKWF in Key West.
Well, that's a long ways from you.
But it doesn't come in too good.
No.
And there's also a station in Palm Beach, which used to be WPOM,
yeah,
which has recently become a Radio Disney outlet.
Ah, terrific. Who's that at your feet?
Oh, that's Lexus.
Lexus is
my wonderful pooch, my guide dog.
Yeah, my Labrador Retriever.
Labrador Retriever / Golden Retriever.
And he's a beautiful dog. And Phil Wayne, say a word into the microphone since you've been working all this morning.
You call this work?
Yeah, you too. Okay. Hey,
I'm just having a good time.
Oh, dear. And I'm particularly glad to see some new faces who come in as total strangers and suddenly find others who share this rather different hobby, I guess you could say, and I hope some lifelong friendships will come out of these meetings. They usually do every year. And our receptionist, Linda, is real good at getting strangers together, and thank you very much, Linda, for being here with us, too. Say, I want to thank everyone who has volunteered to participate in the Travelogue by sending in recordings of the legal IDs from X-Band stations that we've been talking about the last couple of months. And we could use a few more, I'll tell you. Although my time is now getting very short, I need them in my hands by November 6th at the latest. So if you would like to participate, please send a card or letter telling me what you can record for us on the X-Band if you have a nice clean signal coming in from some local station. Send me a card. Tell me what station you can hear clearly. My name is John Bowker, B-O-W-K-E-R. And if you will call the phone number that we gave you last month, what's that phone number, Fred, that we should...
419-228-2228. 4199.
We'll get this down, 4199. Excellent. Just call that number. I'll get back in touch with you, and we'll tell you the deal we make for sending in some IDs of those X-band stations. Well, okay, as usual, I've talked way too much here at the beginning, so let's move quickly ahead with this month's travelogue that finds us with our dials locked at 1600 kilohertz as we start the October 1999 DX Audio Service travelogue.
This is WUNR Brookline.
Now, what you don't hear on that ID is that their programs are all in Spanish. He speaks very well, doesn't he? Now, here from Western Massachusetts are some call letters that have sure made the rounds.
Available for a limited time at participating restaurants or while supplies last. Prices may vary. Delivery or carryout only.
Just 59 seconds until you get another long set of classic rock and roll on WPNT East Long Meadow Springfield, WAQI Springfield.
These are the official rules.
We were listening there for WPNT, of course. Now, I must tell you that Fred and I debated well into the month of July about bringing you this next station break. You see, the station went off the air, a couple of years ago? And one of our most highly regarded and handsome members of the DX Audio Service argued that if we skipped playing this 1974 ID, it would be like the station never existed. So, Paul Mount, this one's for you.
Standing by, don't go away from AM 1600 and Tall Tower FM 92.
Now it's time, WLNG, AM and FM, in Bank Harbor.
Are we on your goodie list, Paul?
Yes, you're on the good list.
At the western end of Long Island, we have the city of New York.
Tune in next week for Action Woman over this NBN station.
The dial set is 1600. This is WWRL, New York.
Okay. You know, it makes me wonder what it must have been like back in the days when WLNG was still on the air, because they were halfway between New York and Boston. There must have been terrible interference along the Martha's Vineyard, the whole area along in there. Well, let's move north out of the Big Apple and visit the wine country of New York.
But that was Brother John, and no one knows who wrote that. It's a traditional song, and you heard it at the Music Hall on a Sunday at WMCR.
You are tuned to WMCR FM 106.3 and AM at 1600 in Oneida, New York.
AM FM WMCR.
So it's raining in central New York, and this will make the gardens grow.
Well,
longer.
Down across the Pocono Mountains into the Allegheny Valley of Pennsylvania.
No hurry, send in your church name to WBFD, Post Office Box 672, Bedford, PA 15522.
Come on home to 1600 Gaspel Road, WBFD, Bedford.
And just outside the chocolate capital of the whole world.
Celebrating 30 years with you. AM
1160. WPDC, Elizabethtown, Hershey.
Don't you love it? Let's call back timing to the news.
Here's the latest from ABC News. Good morning, I'm John Belmont.
Finally. Well, the world home of Little League Baseball is within earshot of this next station.
Friday for a dismissal of the probe. Doug Douglas on the USA Radio Network.
And good morning to you. You are tuned to Light for Life, WJSA, 1600 AM, and WJSA FM, 93.5. Jersey Shore, Williamsport, Lock Haven. Supported in part by faithful friends of WJSA who contribute toward our operating expenses. And we thank you very much. We appreciate your partnership with us in providing alternative radio for Mid-State Pennsylvania.
And at the eastern end of the Commonwealth.
AM Radio with a different spirit
in Allentown.
1600 WPLN.
Bible study shouldn't be a struggle.
Now here's a voice that reaches the very heights of our government in the District of Columbia.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me for lunch. In the last 60 days, WINX has offered a total of over $251,000 in cash and 160 calls. I'm back with you, Anthony, rolling through at least 50 minutes of nonstop hits on all hits 60 WINX, Rockville, Washington, D.C.
My heart starts breaking.
And in the Hampton Roads.
From the top of your dial, 1600 WCPK in Chesapeake.
Now, coming next is a new way to pronounce Fayetteville. You know, the city in North Carolina?
WIDU Fayetteville, Fort Bragg, Spring Lake, time at 3:04 until your Saturday afternoon. We thank the Lord. Another day the Lord has made. We give thanks unto God.
Okay, we come next to the Queen City of North Carolina. This is right on the border of South Carolina.
Serving North Carolina's Queen City. AM 1600 WGIB. An American radio system station. WGIB Charlotte.
Soul hits to the 60s and the 70s. This is David Jackson with you.
And you know, less than 100 miles to the west is Hendersonville, North Carolina.
This is WTZQ Hendersonville and WISE Asheville.
Then she said, I think I can.
Little Justin Whitney demonstrating his reading skills as the president followed along with his own copy of The Little Engine That Could.
We come now, Fred, to one of those fascinating city names.
This is Golden Strip Broadcasting, community companion radio for the Golden Strip. 16 AM, WFIS, Fountain Dam, Simpsonville. Partly cloudy skies of the Golden Strip, 60 degrees at present temperature at 3 o'clock.
Ringing in the new year in Somalia, President Bush on his way to visit with the troops in Mogadishu, where U.S. forces are now sweeping the area for weapons.
Doesn't that sound familiar? This was, Mogadishu? They just changed the name of the place, and the news items just never seem to change in subject. It's tough. But, you know, Fountain Inn, Fred, there's just got to be a story about that town's name. And one of these days, one of us ought to go along, Interstate 26, is it? And stop in at Fountain Inn and say, how did you get the name Fountain Inn? There are a whole bunch of cities like Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, and Cedro Woolley in Washington. I love these names. Fountain Inn, South Carolina. Okay, over next to the Georgia border.
WKZK, North Augusta, South Carolina.
It's now time for the Moment of Faith broadcast with God's Man of Faith, Power, and...
Okay, and in the Atlanta Metro?
This is WAOS, Austell, and WXEM, Buford, La Favorita.
Por Ma María Asunción Guerrero.
Este segmento de noticias es traído a ustedes por una cortesía de MCI.
And as we travel down I-75, just north of Valdosta, Georgia, not far from Florida, we hear this signal.
You are listening to WMGA in Nashville, Georgia. We are your sunshine station, where Jesus is Lord, located at 1600 AM on your radio dial. We are thrilled that you have tuned us in.
Okay, everybody, breathe the fresh air of the Sunshine State.
Broadcasting the finest Catholic apologists, you're listening to WQOP, Atlantic Beach, Jacksonville.
The time is now 11 o'clock.
EWTN, Global Catholic Radio.
And further south is this neighbor to West Palm Beach on the Atlantic coast. And Mike Lance, what you told us a few minutes ago, I'm going to have to get back down there and get a fresh recording, aren't I?
WPOM, Riviera Beach and the Palm Beaches.
That's called pausing for station identification. Well, after a very long drive across the Key Islands, at the most southern point in the United States is this great little resort town.
Let's pause for station identification on the Florida Marlins Radio Network.
WKWF, Key West, Florida, AM 1600. A member of the Spectrum Radio Network. Sports Radio 16 is number one for live sports.
The Marlins have now walked eight men.
And up north in a suburb of Orlando.
WOKB, Winter Garden, Orlando, AM 1600.
Radio International avec Alex Michel.
You know the French language, that's for all their Canadian visitors who come down during the winter months.
You want to hear good gospel music, you're going to have to stay tuned to WXVI 1600 AM from Montgomery's best gospel music. This is Richard Mr. Clean White of Atlanta. God is not through blessing you.
Dr. Clark.
You know, that call sign, XVI, that they use, that's Roman numerals for 1600 on the dial, WXVI. Very good.
I'm going out to John Bowker of the National Radio Club.
WEUP, AM 1600, Huntsville.
WEUP-FM, 92.1, Minor Hill, Pulaski.
W241, AA, 96.1, Huntsville.
Yeah, Dale Hamm, he visited them a few years back, and they added that nice tribute. And several other stations he's arranged for the National Radio Club over the years. Thanks a lot, Dale.
You're on the right side of the dial. WKX, Eminent Shelbyville.
And from Seneca County in the Buckeye State...
WTTF and WTTF-FM, Tiffin.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Bill Deal.
Thank you, Bill. And here's a 1600 voice in the Dayton market.
WBLY Springfield is your 24-hour information station.
Good afternoon. We have 76 degrees in downtown Springfield. I'm Mark Stevens with your news.
Mark Stevens at one time was on WHWH in Princeton with us. Okay, next month we're going to finish up this trip across the country by hearing a lot more stations that operate at 1600 on the dial. We'll start in Ann Arbor, Michigan with a truly fine ID and wind up on the West Coast. Meantime, let me know if you can provide any of the X-band stations. Just call that number we gave you earlier. And now, for all the news of the DX world, here's a fellow who recently and welcomely visited our Florida home. Here's Bruce Conte and the DX Digest.
As sports bears down on New England, the WBZ Storm Center gears up. WBZ News Radio 1030.
Hello, DXers. I'm Bruce Conti, and this is the DX Digest. Hurricane Floyd tops the news, giving many DXers across the U.S. an opportunity to log Florida as WOKV Jacksonville on 690 kept its daytime facilities on overnight during the emergency, rather than switching to a nighttime antenna pattern that dumps most of the signal over the Atlantic Ocean. Even Paul Swearingen, publisher of the NRC's DX News magazine, reported hearing WOKV in Kansas. However, while everyone else seemed to be listening to Florida on 690, I was hearing Barquisimeto, Venezuela. The ID right there for Barquisimeto, 690. This was quite unusual. Over the past couple of months, WOKV was heard at sunset and followed by Dr. Gene Scott's Caribbean Beacon from Anguilla, dominant most nights, with Radio Progreso Cuba and Radio Recuerdos Colombia also there on 690.
This is Tom Rockrock in Hagerstown, Maryland. I'm going to suggest for you a couple of DX possibilities on 930, which I have heard here. One is WMAC, Mac, Abel, Charlie, in Macon, Georgia. 50,000 watts day and 10,000 watts night. They carry Braves baseball and news talk. And also WMIX in Mount Vernon, Illinois. They carry Cardinals baseball. And I think also news talk, but I'm not 100% sure of that. Then two other things of interest on 690. Because of the hurricane, I've been hearing WOKV in Jacksonville. You might have a good shot at them in Jacksonville, Florida. And on 1680, WTIR in Winter Garden, Florida, has been carrying NOAA Weather Radio.
During the hurricane, WMBL Moorhead, North Carolina, was also apparently at full power on 740 kilohertz.
From 80 to 100 set for tomorrow. And the hurricane Floyd should move out by tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be mostly cloudy, so with some lingering showers with lows in the 70s. That's the forecast for the East Coast for this overnight news coming up at the top of the hour. Now, more music and memories on AM 740. WMBL.
WMBL is heard here in New Hampshire during the hurricane. Not to make light of what was a dangerous situation for many, major storms such as hurricanes and blizzards often provide unusual DX opportunities with full power emergency broadcasts from stations that normally reduce power or switch to directional patterns at night. For now, let's all hope for the best for those faced with recovering from the destruction left behind by Hurricane Floyd. Now on to other DX. The Boston area DXers recently convened for the annual DX Clams Mini DX Expedition at Granite Pier, overlooking the Atlantic in Rockport, Massachusetts. Participants included NRC members Mark Conley and Tom Walsh. I was also there and recorded what for me was the highlight of the event, receiving the sign-on interval signal from Sudan on 1296 kilohertz. Sudan at 1296 kilohertz, just before the 3 hours UTC sign-on of regular programming with the music box interval signal. Transatlantic medium wave DX has been good at home too, as is typical for September. Slovakia at 1098 kilohertz has been heard with a nice signal at 1 hour UTC, here now with a Slovensko 1 ID. Slovakia at 1098 with a top-of-the-hour ID into news. Another strong signal from overseas has been Croatia at 1134 kilohertz and parallel 1125. DXers out to the Rockies should have been able to receive this one. Believe it or not, that was Croatia at 11:34 with music heard just after 1 hour UTC with interference from WBBR New York 11:30 splashing over. Domestic DX has been interesting too. Here's one heard at sunset. WAZX Smyrna, Georgia at 1550 kilohertz in Spanish with Mexican music and this mention of the International Ballroom de Atlanta. At 15:50 during sunset, WAZX Smyrna, Georgia. Sunset is prime time for domestic DXing because of the changing ionospheric conditions from day to night and stations caught in the process of changing power and patterns or signing off. Here's one heard signing off at 1500 kilohertz over WTOP Washington, D.C.
WGHT Fountain Lakes and GHTRadio.com. WGHT 1500 AM operates on a daytime only license and must now shut down in accordance with FCC regulations. In a few moments, we'll continue to program our live audio feed on the internet. To listen to us overnight anywhere in the world, visit our website at GHTRadio.com.
So the DX is out there. Get your reports on cassette tape to me, Bruce Conti, at 46 Ridgefield Drive, Nashua, New Hampshire, 03062-1174. More next time on the DX Digest, 73 and good DX.
Mark Dernberger here with another Clear Channel band scan. But instead of scanning, we're going to the well, to one of the stations that began it all, WSM 650 in Nashville. WSM on the air for three quarters of a century. One of the leaders of the heritage group of Clear Channel radio stations, promoting superpower operation on the Clears and leading the fight to preserve the status of Clear Channel broadcasting. On a recent trip to Nashville, it was our pleasure to meet up with Watt Hairston and to make a new friend in the bargain. Watt was kind enough to take us on a tour of the original WSM 50,000 watt transmitter site. What followed was a fun afternoon, and I hope you enjoy this as much as I did.
This is the home of the Grand Ole Opry, Clear Channel 650, WSM, Nashville.
This transmitter site at 8012 Concord Road was built in 1932. They went on the air late in 1932 with it, and before that they were at another site down close to downtown. It was a... It was a cage antenna. It was strung between two towers.
Horizontal?
Yeah.
On top?
Yeah. They had proposed in their drawings that are out here in this building for a two-tower configuration with another cage between those, but Jack DeWitt, the then chief engineer, had found out about, they were reading about this, this 120 radials and a 5/8 wave radiator. And so he went and convinced the president of the insurance company during the Depression years to go out and spend like $140,000 for this Blaenox 887-foot tower, you know, and they went along with it. That's how this site became. It was scheduled to be something else, but they changed the plans at the last minute, and they purchased this thing. According to what I'm told, they came here and they put this tower up, and then they left immediately here and went to Cincinnati and put that one up at WLW.
Now, this is not sectionalized. This is one straight piece of steel.
It's one straight. It's not a Franklin antenna.
I wish I was better at describing this to our DXAS listeners. The center of that tower is what, 40 feet?
It's roughly 40 feet across at the middle. On the, not through the middle of it, but on each one of the four sides. And it has eight guy wires.
It's square in the middle then.
Yes, it's square in the middle, and it has
eight guy
wires.
Tapers up and it tapers down.
That's right.
My goodness, how big are the guy cables?
Roughly 2 inches.
It's a fascinating looking tower. It just sort of reeks of power.
It gets your attention.
Yeah.
Then the license requires us to have this 1,000-watt rotating airway beacon.
So it's the one on the building here goes around.
That's right. It, like it comes on nighttime when the power lights come. That light on top, there are two lights that are up on top. The one that's to the back was for security reasons. The one that's on the front is still required by the FAA because of the non-standard lighting that's on the tower.
I see.
At the time they put this up, there was not another broadcast tower of that height. So they came back, the CAA came back and asked the radio station, since they didn't have any rules for it, to propose something. So what they proposed at the top of the tower, or right down from the bottom of the pole, there's a pole that extends above the tower there too, beacon fixtures that are up there that have two bulbs in each one of them, and they're two side marker levels, one about halfway down the second section and one at about the taper.
This is the place I want to be right now, ladies and gentlemen, is coming into the transmitter building of a Heritage Clear Channel broadcast station. There once was a time when there'd be a transmitter engineer here 24 hours a day taking meter readings and the alarm. The first thing I see are some of the memorabilia. Here's living quarters. And of course, they all were self-contained, weren't they?
That's right.
So we're bound to see a generator here somewhere, probably a fallout shelter.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yep, and here's
all
the kitchen.
That stuff.
Yep.
And it was, and there's here's a burn. There's a around the bottom of the tower. In World War II, they built a concrete encasement around the base insulator at that time because they were afraid that the Germans would shoot the porcelain base insulator out from under the, because it was this road went by here.
Uh-huh.
So they built this this concrete and brick
berm, a protection. Oh, for heaven's sakes. There's a sense of history running through me right now, folks. This is just great.
This is porcelain facilities.
Tile floor, porcelain walls. My only regret today, folks, I told you I'm where I want to be, is that I didn't bring my camera. And there is a picture of the old transmitter. Oh, my.
There's a top view of it.
There was more to it because then there was the basement support equipment.
Absolutely. There were motor DC generators in the basement.
For the grid bias.
Yeah, and the bias.
And now we're in the transmitter room, and there's a DX50 purring away.
This thing, we've got this just about a year ago. We've not had one, I knock on wood, but we have not had one problem with
it. I don't know of anyone who has.
This is a wonderful piece of equipment.
We're now descending a circular staircase. I've never seen a circular staircase in a radio transmitter building. This is a solid one as well.
Oh, yeah.
I suspect we're going to the bomb shelter.
Yeah, we are, in the machine shop. This was the boiler room. This is a still. The heat boiler was here.
So all this did was distill water.
That's right. That they pumped out of the Little Harpeth River and put into a 20,000-gallon tank that's out here in the backyard.
And it circulated in the tube.
Yeah.
To keep the tubes cool.
That's right.
And where did the heat get taken out of? Was there?
There's a room back here on the back that was that had a heat exchanger in it where they circulated that.
Here's a secret door.
Yeah, that is the old stoker's closet.
That's got coal in it, I bet, huh?
Did it one time.
Now it's storage, okay. So in addition to watching the transmitter and reading the meters every half hour, the engineer had to come down and get a coal shovel and shovel coal.
People that did that.
Oh, they had stokers.
Yeah, they had stokers down here.
That's all they did.
That's all they did.
Keep the place warm. There's certainly a lot of room here in the basement. Floors are clean.
All the DC generators were down here in the basement, as well as the plate transformers were down here.
And this is where all the plumbing was for the water cooling, and now what's down
it
here
was that
is the power
here.
Supply for the Continental.
And that's right.
Fuse panels and disconnects and some racks.
You see these circles in the floor.
Oh, yeah.
This is where the large transformers were for the old RCA, which was the...
This might have been a filter reactor about that size. Full of PCBs.
It said these were three transformers and the filter reactor sat over here.
Oh, yeah. I just want to pop in here for a second to tell you that all that clicking you hear going on there is Watt turning the lights on and off as we went from room to room. Next on our tour was the fallout shelter.
As we call it.
And this was typically a room at which you could take over operation of the station.
That's right. This
got the usual reel-to-reel cassette and cart machine.
This
a little
purchased
mixer.
By FEMA. for the radio station.
Right. Yeah.
They also have, that's a special SAGE index where if necessary, the White House or FEMA or whoever can take over the radio station.
You said that the White House can take over WSM's transmitter?
That's right, and all 27 of the PPAC.
Right, okay.
Stations.
The other stations, and it's done with a special code and
that's
authorization
right.
that only they have,
that's right.
theoretically.
It's a last case, worst case scenario situation that they hopefully we won't ever have to use it, but if it's there, they pick.
Do they ever test it? They have not. How would you test it?
They've never tested it. They have. I think they did it by accident one day, and
oh, really?
What they did, they grabbed WLS and WWL, and they had the engineers had to go out to the transmitter and turn the SAGE unit off to get it to turn loose. But this was like an afternoon drive when they did this, and it created quite a furor.
Now we're in the, probably going to the generator room would be my
guess.
Yeah,
this used to be, there used to be a vat over there, and part of the circulation system was there. And in this room, which is now the generator room, there was the top wasn't on here, there was an open, this was open to the top, and this was a heat exchanger room in here where they circulated the closed loop water and the
that was in
stored
here.
Water.
This looks like about a 200 kilowatt generator.
Actually, it's about 175. That came in here in 1960, and it runs like a sewing machine.
I'll bet it does. I'll bet it cranks over just like that. He said, backing toward the door.
I'll run it for you. You want me?
Sure. All right, folks. This is what happens. I warned you. Manicured backyard where we see open wire transmission line. It's the same principle as a coaxial cable that you use on your TV set, except it's a whole lot bigger, and instead of a round shield over the center conductor, there are
four wires and then there are two wires that are in the middle that form the center conductor. This stuff is very efficient. You know, like 90-something% efficient. It works very well. It's 200 ohms. This looks like a garage, but it's not.
It was, though, right? Yeah.
It is a garage, but it sits on top of a 20,000-gallon concrete-encased water tank. They pumped water up from the Harpeth River, and this is where they stored their water. So they had people that didn't do anything but keep this system working, and there's a whole series of pumps that were out back that they used to keep this thing working. But it's really amazing.
This now
that manhole cover there puts you down into that tank.
Cistern, huh?
Yeah, which it is. There's a ladder that goes down. That thing is enclosed in concrete, and it's full of water. This room here still has nothing but junk in it. There's a piece of 5/8 coax that hooks the standby antenna to an L network that's inside of here. And then that antenna out there, you can see how we have that thing loaded on the top.
Oh, yeah.
We still can't put but about 15 kilowatts into it.
But it'll keep you on the air.
Yeah, especially if we're doing work on this.
Heading out to the tower base, I suspect that pretty soon we're going to start hearing WSM radio in our recorder, considering how much RF there is right around here. All right, now we're out here where the rubber meets the road, at the base of this huge tower, which has been freshly painted, just another indication of the regard with which Mr. Hairston maintains his equipment.
That paint job has a rather long story to about what we had to go through to do all of that. We actually had a guy go broke painting this thing.
From the bottom of the tower, you clearly can't see the top because it tapers outward to a point of maximum width in the middle. Is that the physical middle? Halfway up? Okay. And then it tapers back out again. But at the bottom here, I'd say it's about 2 feet on a side, and up in the middle, it's about 40. It's sitting on a pedestal of concrete that's probably 5 feet square, and how far down do you think that goes?
I don't remember.
Yards?
There's a very large base that's underneath it, but right around here, you don't go down too many feet till you hit limestone.
Oh, is that right?
So I think it sits on limestone.
It's probably spread out.
Yeah.
Radio history off this tower, folks. Well, we're leaving.
leaving now, and I don't know how to put a cap on this because I am so impressed by what I saw. The pride of this engineering group and the fact that the priorities are in maintaining what is obviously a heritage operation. I'm just so delighted that you took the time.
Well, it's our pleasure, Mark, and any time.
The last words of a great engineer, and I say that from my own impression, and also a good guy on this sultry Monday afternoon, June 7th, 1999, an afternoon that I'll remember.
Thanks, Mark. And from the publisher of DX News Magazine, Paul Swearingen writes, "We regret to announce the passing of a longtime National Radio Club member, Len Kruse of Dubuque, Iowa, on June the 21st. Len was a frequent contributor not only to DX News, but to various publications. He also wrote three books, including Unforgettable Radio. Len was 77. Also, the passing of a legend, William Meeks Jr., the founder of PAMS of Dallas, passed away. He started in the business playing clarinet, first for a band on radio station WRR in Dallas, Texas. He was only 14 years old. After graduation from Sunset High School, he attended North Texas State College, which is now the University of North Texas. He then went on to the U.S. Air Force. In 1947, Gordon McClendon hired Bill and his band to perform for the opening of his new radio station, KLIF 1190. He later played for the Early Birds on WFAA Radio. Bill started PAMS in 1951 when he came up with the idea of creating a music bed and singing different station call signs and signatures on top of the music. He then sold PAMS in 1977 and then went on to start another jingle company called Upbeat Communications. He had been working on creating jingles, commercials, and musical signatures right up to his death when he succumbed to cancer. While jingles have mostly disappeared from many stations, Bill Meeks' name will always be remembered, as will PAMS, as the high point in decades of radio past. Bill Meeks was 78.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
And finally, before we flip over our tape from the DX Change, Russ Edmonds is offering, for the price of shipping his copies of DX News Magazine, volumes 59 through volume 64. That's a total of six volumes between 12 to 15 pounds. The price would depend on your distance from Russ in New Jersey. Contact Russ at wb2bjh@hotmail.com. Let's flip it over to side two of the cassette.
It's time for a pattern change. Or at least to flip over your tape for more of the DX Audio Service.